Hello, and welcome to IRI Growth Insights, featuring IRI thought leaders, industry partners, and guests. For more than 40 years, IRI has been known for its invaluable data, but these podcasts delve into the insights the data reveal to fuel market disruption and market growth for those in the CPG, retail, healthcare, and media markets. I'm your host, Joan Driggs, coming to you from IRI's corporate headquarters in Chicago. Thanks for listening. Today we'll be talking about the evolution and opportunities for legal cannabis. I'm joined today by Jessica Lucas, Senior Vice President of Commercial Development at BDS Analytics, based in Boulder, Colorado, and a partner for IRI. Jessica has been with BDS Analytics for 2.5 years and is focused on pulling together a product offering that works for major tobacco, alcohol, and CPG companies. Interestingly, Jessica has her master's degree, she's a mom, and she consumes legal cannabis. She's committed to breaking down the stigma that you can be a hardworking, really bright, committed person and still consume cannabis. As a testament to that, Jessica's daughter's birthday is today, so she decided not to fly to Chicago to meet with us in person, and we're phoning it in. I applaud you for that, Jessica. I'm also joined by Chris Vanderlinden, executive with our Market and Shopper Intelligence Group here at IRI. Chris is committed to all things protein, dairy bakery, and beer, wine, spirits, and tobacco. Chris saw the huge impact that cannabis would have on the beer, wine, and spirits and tobacco industry, and he really wants to help work to kind of fulfill a lot of growth opportunities throughout that market. He's also really working to strengthen and build the relationship IRI has with BDS Analytics, and maybe on a lesser degree or to a lesser scale, Chris is also a cannabis consumer, CBD in particular, for pain management. So welcome both Jessica and Chris.
Good to be here.
Thank you.
Jessica, I'd like to start with you because you have been tracking this market for so long. You've kind of seen kind of the evolution to the current legal status. Can you kind of lay the groundwork for us for how we got here and kind of bring us up to speed a little bit on where we are with legal cannabis?
Yeah, definitely. So I always like to remind everyone that we're talking about legal cannabis. And legal cannabis is new. Cannabis is not new for most of the U.S. population. So prior to any legalization of marijuana or hemp, there definitely was cannabis consumption going on for a very long time. So again, as we think about legal cannabis, that encapsulates both hemp and marijuana. And that is new. Legal cannabis is new. And so with that, as we think about legal cannabis, really, it started with marijuana. So regulated marijuana state by state manner, starting with Colorado having full adult use legalization in January 2014. And we've seen that evolved across states. So at this point, fully legal markets with retail include Alaska, California, Colorado, Oregon, Washington, Nevada, and Massachusetts, with Michigan and Illinois coming online in 2020. So over the last 5 years, a major evolution in legal cannabis as it pertains to regulated marijuana. Most recently, getting a lot of buzz with the passing of the Farm Bill, is the opening of the hemp-derived marketplace. And so now we're talking about legal cannabis, including both marijuana, historically known for THC, or the intoxicating component of the plant, but now also including hemp-derived, which includes CBD. So we think about this evolution, and it's very clear where all of this is going. And as part of this, the sheer size of the marketplace cannot be ignored. Right now, BDS Analytics is predicting the entire cannabinoid-infused marketplace to be $45 billion by 2024. That's a big number. That includes cannabinoid products sold in the dispensary channel. That includes cannabinoid-infused products sold in food, drug, mass, convenience, and so on. That includes pharmaceutical application and both, again, hemp and marijuana.
Jessica, right now, dispensary is still the biggest channel for cannabis, either like the marijuana THC or the hemp-derived CBD, which is really emerging. But what percentage of that $45 billion marketplace would you say dispensary holds? Because that is the biggest.
Yeah, it is. Dispensary channels are the largest today, and we anticipate them to be the largest component and the largest driver of cannabinoid-infused product sales over the next 5 years and beyond. So of that $45 billion, let me break that down for you. $25 billion of that, and again, this is by 2024. So $25 billion of that are THC dominant products sold in the dispensary channel. About $5 billion of that is other cannabinoid products sold through the dispensary channel. So think about CBD dominant products. So of the $45 billion, $30 billion of that by 2024 is still coming from the legal regulated dispensary channel. As we anticipate medical approval to spread across the U.S., as well as adult use legalization state by state and even federally prior to 2024. So again, $30 billion of the $45 billion coming from the dispensary channel. Then you layer on an anticipated $13 billion coming from your general market retail sales. So that's where IRI becomes crucial to tracking this marketplace. Because that's where we're going to see sales across grocery, drugstores, mass merch, club, convenience. We're already seeing these products sold in those channels, but that becomes a huge growth driver, starting with topical application that we've already seen happen already this year, the creams, the balms, the salves, the lotions. As the FDA comes out with regulations of how they're going to look at CBD as a food additive, ingestibles, so food, beverages, candies, supplements become another major player in that $13 billion cannabinoid-infused product sales expected by 2024 in the mainstream channel. That leaves us with $2 billion. So for those of you who do not know, pharmaceutical play also happens here. So the FDA has approved a pharmaceutical application of CBD called Epidiolex. And we anticipate by 2024 there to be a $2 billion pharmaceutical market as well. And so all of that adds up to the $45 billion.
Great. And Chris, this kind of gets into your space a little bit too, because you've been tracking, you know, beer, wine, spirits, tobacco across all these other different channels. And now we've got this new player coming in. So let's talk a little bit about how this relationship between BDS and IRI came to be and what it means for our ability to cover the marketplace.
Well, I think our clients were asking us frequently for a point of view on what was going to happen in their market space. And I think some of the earliest clients that we had conversations with came out of alcoholic beverages and the tobacco space here. We were in great need of some assistance with that. You know, we come at our clients with market measurement, the ability to understand through point of sales data what's happening. And then also we add the consumer behavior, what people do, how they do what they do, et cetera. And so we were looking for that robust sort of across the waterfront type of partner. And BDS Analytics continually came up as the source for a lot of webinar type of information. I think, you know, Wall Street looks to them to have an opinion. I think the people in the industry, people that are providers or producers inside of the cannabis industry, look to BDS Analytics as the expert. And so it was a pretty short putt for us when we were looking for a partner to look for somebody who had not only the market measurement side of the ledger covered, but also to have a point of view about consumer behavior and attitude. So that's where we started. I think Jessica just did a nice job of outlining the places where we think our clients, you know, are more likely to see an impact. She talked about, obviously, alcoholic beverages, and the two companies have worked pretty closely in having conversations with those clients. But also she talked about healthcare as being one of the more likely categories to be influenced, and then also confections. So I would say we were looking for somebody who had eyes on and expertise. I think you can hear that in the way that Jessica represents BDS analytics expertise here. And I would also say it's pretty clear as we've spent time in the early part of our relationship that there is a real need for education, for an understanding of what's happening as the marketplace evolves. I think there's a lot of incorrect perceptions about what the marketplace is, about the users, the consumers thereof. I think there's a lot of different kinds of education that will need to take place. Not only do we think that we're going to need to inform consumers and educate consumers, but I think that there's going to be an opportunity to educate manufacturers on the space. And I think there's going to be a terrific opportunity for retailers to be educated on the space.
Well, it's interesting that you even say that, because I think that education is going to be key, and it's going to be up to the manufacturers and the retailers to really push out that consumer education. And I think that takes me a little bit back to the dispensary channel, Jessica, because one of the things that I see the dispensary channel is really excelling in is being able to support the consumer as they kind of venture into these cannabinoids. You know, they're the ones who are having the real conversations with people to find out what it is they're trying to address, whether it's a physical or an emotional need. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm not, just like any retail landscape, not all stores are created equal. So not all dispensaries are doing this in the same way. But the best locations and the best retailers really create a catered experience. You know, you're guided through a conversation. You're guided through a walk of different products. The bud tenders, the people working at the dispensary, spend quite a bit of time talking to you about what you're looking for. And frankly, for some, that might just be to get high. And for others, it might be to help them sleep or relax or unwind or deal with some pain. You know, maybe somebody's going through chemotherapy and looking for support in that. So it very much is a catered experience to what are the in-functional benefits that the person is looking to achieve by consuming. And that's a really different way to think about this, because consumption is very much multifaceted. So why I might consume on a Friday night with my significant other can be to relax or unwind. That drives to a different product form. Then maybe on a Saturday after a long run when I have knee pain, I need a topical application. Or, you know, dealing with a migraine, you might want to consume a gummy before going to sleep. Again, it's all about the functionality of the product. What is the need state? What is the occasion? And the best dispensaries are having conversations with consumers about that, trying to understand what they're looking for, what their pain point is, and then providing catered recommendations.
So for some of those other retail channels that we track, what is some of that going to look like there? I mean, I would think part of it is going to be based on assortment that really kind of makes sense for that channel. But what do you anticipate some of that education or that assortment to look like across these other channels like drug, mass, grocery, convenience?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question, and I think one that a lot of retailers are struggling with right now is how do you shelf these products? Where do they sit? And what does that consumer journey look like once in the store? I will call out one thing. In the dispensary channel, the products can be labeled what we call mood or effect. So sleep, calm, relax, unwind, energize, party. It makes something that's very complicated with cannabinoids and terpenes and strains very simple for consumers to understand. I'm looking to help myself sleep. This product says sleep. That makes it easy. The general market, I believe, is going to be a bit more challenging because making those claims is likely going to be tough. And so I think retailers need to think through what are the different reasons why people are consuming. And again, looking at the dispensary channel and the product assortment, what's successful in the dispensary is a very good leading indicator of what's going to be successful in the general market. So understanding those occasions and those need states and organizing the products as such. And that's going to be where we see some retailers doing a great job and others maybe just throwing some products on an end cap and putting a check next to that box. It's going to come down to understanding how consumers are shopping and thinking about CBD products. Because right now in a fully legal market, so I'm sitting in Colorado, if I wanted the benefits of CBD, so I wanted the anti-inflammatory pain management benefits, I could go to King Soopers, I could go to CVS, I could go to Walgreens, I could go to a dispensary like Native Roots, I could go to a chiropractor, I could go to a Sprouts and Alfalfa's, you name it, these products are available. And retailers need to understand that, because what retailers need to do is drive consumers looking for the CBD benefits to their stores for their product assortment.
Well, and I also see that, you know, some of those products that have been leading in the dispensary channel are migrating to some of those other channels that we track. So clearly some of these retailers are like following the lead of the big dog here. But I think to your point, it has to make sense for that retailer. Do you see some of those, that same naming approach making its way to other channels, things around, you know, effect?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how the FDA comes out to regulate CBD as a food additive and what is and is not allowed in terms of those types of claims being made. It could be something that is not allowed in the marketplace, but it definitely does help simplify it. Because again, when you're talking about a plant, cannabis, with over 100 cannabinoids, and then if you talk to a cannabis connoisseur, they're going to immediately jump to, hey, cannabinoids matter. But guess what? So does the terpene profile, the genetic composition of the strain. This gets very complicated for the average consumer. And to note, only 22% of the U.S. 21 plus adult population even knows what cannabinoids are and feel good about articulating that definition. So we already have a fairly confused population. And so it makes it really important to simplify this. And that's where retailers win, is providing the right products and the right format to the shoppers coming into their stores.
So Chris, in working with so many of your different clients, what are some of the struggles that you think that they're voicing to you about education? You know, like how they might communicate to their shoppers or their retailer partners, even how they're trying to understand it within their own business in terms of marketing?
Yeah, I would say we run the gamut, really. I think you got to recognize that you know, there's not unanimity of point of view here, that from client to client, they view this space differently. I think even within a client, you have different functional groups that view this either as a nuisance or an opportunity. And I think, you know, what we're trying to do is to say, there's a lot going on here. It's probably in your best interest to at least be monitoring and have eyes on what's happening in the marketplace. Because as Jess really alludes to, there's going to be a ripple effect into just about every business because of how widespread this product is available in general retail. So yeah, I think we do run into a wide range of knowledge, a continuum of knowledge, as we cross from client to client and within client. And it is going to be something that we really have to contend with. I really kind of want to also go back and talk a little bit about the perceptions that we run into when we have conversations with clients about how developed this industry really is. It looks an awful lot like a regular CPG business would look. It's not illicit. If you go walk into a dispensary, they're professional. They are buttoned up. The products look a lot like you would see on a regular store shelf with a regular product. This is becoming very mainstream. And for anybody who doesn't view it that way, you run the risk of being way behind when this begins to affect your business. So,
yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about it that way, Chris, because we do find that the majority of adults across the U.S., actually over 80%, agree with some form of legal marijuana. So we're not even talking about the hemp-derived CBD marketplace. I'm talking the legalization of marijuana has public support, and that's not changing. And so as you think about where the future lies in the U.S. for legal cannabis, you have to first look at the fully legal market, mm-hmm. because that's the future. As we see more states come online, as we anticipate federal legalization to pass in 2021, that's not to say all states legalize at that point in time, but that will be a bigger trickle effect. The fully legal markets today, again, Alaska, California, Colorado, Oregon, Washington, Nevada, Massachusetts, are very much indicative of where this marketplace will be over the next 5 to 10 years, because we're already legal states.
Well, and I think it's not only going to get that much bigger, it is going to get that much more complicated, because there's so many other compounds of cannabinoids that are emerging and bubbling up. And I think, Jess, you told me that you're already tracking 25 of them in dispensaries.
Yeah, so we didn't talk much about this, but BDS Analytics and the partnership with IRI allows clients access to, you know, all of the detailed what is selling where, when, at what price point in the dispensary channel. So just like current IRI clients have access to grocery, drug, mass, convenience, think about dispensary as a new channel where you can track these product sales. And so in the dispensary channel, in the markets we track, yes, we are already coding 25 different cannabinoids being touted on product labels. So THC, you're intoxicating cannabinoid, what marijuana has been most known for historically. Then you have CBD. The interesting thing for CBD is a lot of people see hemp as equivalent to CBD. Like, those words are interchangeable. They are not. CBD can be derived from both marijuana and hemp. And CBD products have been available in the dispensary for 5+ years, going much further back even prior to adult use legalization. Now we're starting to see products being touted with CBN, a sleep aid, a THCA focused on pain and inflammation, a THCV, a very interesting one to a lot of people because it's an appetite suppressant. So we've gone from THC, you know, it's fairly well accepted and known that munchies do exist, to THCV actually being an appetite suppressant. So all of this becomes really interesting as you anticipate and as we predict where the marketplace is going. Again, coding already 25 cannabinoids, depending on who you talk to, there's believed to be 100 or if not hundreds of different cannabinoids coming from the plant with very different functional benefits. And so I always, when we're having conversations with the IRI team, with clients, in presentations, it's really important to remember that if you're sitting there thinking about how you're going to enter the hemp-derived CBD marketplace, you're already about 2 years behind where the market is today, because it is just now starting to evolve past that.
Right. So I think in wrapping this up, this is a fast-moving big opportunity category. I've never seen a disruption like this in the many decades that I've been covering the CPG retail market. It's absolutely incredible. But I think that people not only have to keep up with the legislative issues, they really need to focus on educating that end consumer. And to get to that end consumer, it has to be manufacturer and retailer really playing in here and figuring out what works best for them and for their end consumers. This is a conversation that I hope that we'll be having again and again, because I'd like to talk in future podcasts about the business implications of entering the cannabis market and growing the cannabis market, as well as really focusing more on that retail landscape, because it's so very exciting. So with that, I'd like to thank Chris and Jessica for your time today and hope that we have an opportunity to connect again soon.
Thank you.
Thanks.
To see a visual of the market that Jessica described, please visit the show notes section for this episode on our website, iriworldwide.com. Click on Insights and then Podcasts. There, you'll also see a link that will take you to our Cannabis Growth in CPG webinar. Thank you for listening. Please become a subscriber and let us know what you want to learn more about. We'll serve it up in a future IRI Growth Insights episode. Look for us wherever you get your podcasts and be sure to review IRI Growth Insights.
Also, visit us on the web at iriworldwide.com and connect with us on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn.